Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you all in worship. It's an honor, joy, and privilege to have this opportunity to bring with you a portion of God's Word. As we talked about in our Bible study hour, when I was last before you, we spoke on resentment. In a way, that is message is connected to my message this morning. For often, resentment is stirred when we feel our work ethic is under personal attack. So some of you, but probably not most of you, may have felt that during our Bible study hour when laziness was discussed. But if you didn't feel it in our Bible study, you're going to perhaps feel it in my morning message. Because in my morning message, I want to flip this to the other side of that coin, as I alluded to at the end of our Bible study. And having thoroughly examined laziness, I want to talk about busyness. See, everyone gets busy at times. This came to me this past week, a pretty heavy workload. I had to travel, get a bunch of work done, travel back, get more work done. And we have so many people, work, and interests competing for our attention that at times, our involvement and support of things can, start to wane or slip if we're not careful. And sometimes even the church adds to life's hecticness. Sometimes we find, there's so many programs, so many different studies going on that we can find ourselves being overwhelmed and overcome by busyness. Right? That's why I closed on my morning message, and I'll come back to it at the end of this message. I try and, just keep in my mind the guidance that Christ gave his disciples at the end of Matthew chapter 6, where he told them to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then have all these things added unto you. Right? Like, if you can keep that in your mind and constantly be prioritizing God, it will help with the plight of busyness. But this morning, our word from the Lord is going to come from Luke chapter 10. Where this is a very familiar passage to most of us. Luke chapter 10 is where Jesus has a conversation with a very busy Martha. Is there anyone in need of a Bible this morning? If you're in need of a Bible, if you raise your hand at this time, we can get one to you where you are seated. But in Luke chapter 10 is where we have this encounter between our Lord and Savior and a pair of sisters, Mary and Martha. Very well-known encounter, but perhaps not viewed previously through the lens of busyness. Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42 reads as such. It says, "Now it came to pass that as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Verse 40, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, does thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." When I gave you my introduction, putting laziness and busyness in the same sentence, you may have been startled by me putting busyness in that same context. Why is busyness so bad? You may have asked yourself. We have to be careful that we don't prioritize things that don't align with the work that the Lord has set for us to do. Busy busyness at times prohibits us from having a balanced life. It's obvious from this encounter that you no doubt heard before that Martha was neglecting some very important priorities. Martha, in this encounter, as we've just read, has the honor and privilege of the Lord coming into her home. Right? All of us would consider that an honor and privilege if the doorbell rang this afternoon and we had a special visitor that wanted to spend the afternoon with us. Right? But as we've all hosted company before, like, what's the first thing, you know, that normally comes to mind? Well, is my house clean enough for others to come in and dine? And or what are they going to see? Do I have a place for them to sit? And what are they going to eat? Right? Our mind would just, out of practice, start flooding with all these concerns, just like Martha. I'm not condemning Martha, right? Like, I think a lot of us would find ourselves having a Martha moment, right? If that knock came in the door and we had that special visitor, right? So Martha has this honor and privilege of the Lord coming into her home. And she's very much involved in fellowship and the service of others. She naturally goes into servant mode, right? Like, she's trying to prepare a meal. But she neglects the opportunity in this encounter to learn and worship from and with Christ. I'd also put to you that her busyness, that if we're not careful, our busyness can destroy relationships. As busyness at times keeps us distracted from the important things in life. Martha was distracted while Christ was in her home from her relationship with the Lord. And at times for us, when extreme busyness hits, one of the first things to go is our personal time with the Lord. You know, often our Bible reading stops, you know, and she had the opportunity, Martha did, and it was the first thing to go in her life. Author C.S. Lewis wrote, "The moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes and hopes for the day are going to rush at you like wild animals. But the first job each morning should consist of shoving it all back and listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, and letting that other larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in and setting those priorities." Right? Because there's a lot of things that are going to come in there at you that you can make yourself busy doing, right? And that's what I was saying. Martha here is distracted from her relationship with Mary. They're sisters, right? Martha's hectic mindset caused her to be very negative towards her sister, isn't it? Right? That's how busyness can be an enemy to any relationship. Mm-hmm. How many of our friendships have gone by the wayside because of our busy schedule? Right? We haven't had the time to cultivate that friendship or to spend time with others because we're doing other things. Right? Busyness distorts our vision. Martha here in this encounter accuses her sister, Mary, of being lazy and neglectful and totally misses the fact that Mary was doing what actually pleased the Lord. Right? Busyness often comes with these blinders that only allow us to see our own point of view and our own desires. Busyness can rob us of personal joy, right? Martha wasn't enjoying this moment with the Lord in her house. Martha was scurrying about stressed on the occasion, right? Martha was distracted. She was negative. She was complaining. Busy busyness at times can even hinder our prayer life. Can you believe when you read in that scripture Martha's prayer? Right? You might not think of it as a prayer, but it's a communication with the Lord, so it's a prayer. So, Martha's statement there, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Right? Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. That's pretty demanding for the Lord. Do we sometimes pray like that? Do we sometimes treat the Lord like a vending machine? You know, and say, I want this. I want that. Right? We have to approach the Lord with the reverence and respect that is deserved. Right? And I don't think Martha's purposely trying to be disrespectful. Yeah. That just shows you how easy it is when you get busy. Right? To neglect these things. Right? The good news for us is that busyness is curable. Right? We have to set the example. Right? Like, so if you think of the ministry of Christ, you know Jesus had plenty to do. Right? With the whole world awaiting the pathway to salvation, he was blazing. Yet here in this encounter, and in many others, you see him stopping to build relationships. Right? He set the example for us. What? In caring for us, we have to care enough, like Christ does here, to confront. If you see someone caught up in busyness, help them. Say something. Jesus' words here, Martha, Martha, was actually from a heart of compassion. Right? You could tell she was caught up. And he pointedly said, you are worried and upset about many things. Right? Sometimes the best thing we can do is to acknowledge reality and help reset priorities. Jesus said, only one thing is needed. Too often, our own conversations are focused on the meaningless cares of this world when we need to be talking to others about life's priorities and things that really matter and encouraging one another to be faithful and righteous. Right? We have to at times care enough to confront that. Right? That's why I said in our Bible study, at times we pit laziness, you know, we condemn laziness, we're pretty good at that. And we call that out pretty well. Right? But then sometimes we miss it, like, oh, you're busy, that means you're working and you're active. And it was like, well, but does it have purpose and meaning? And is there a strategy behind what you're doing? And does it reflect your priorities? Or are you just busy? Right? We must look and assist others as Christ was assisting Mary and Martha in this process. We must look to those who exhibit balance. Right? Jesus commended Mary for choosing what was better. And we often need examples in our lives to imitate. Right? We must make time to be at the feet of Jesus. In this text, Jesus said, only one thing is needed. That one thing we know to be time with Jesus, a relationship with Christ. That's the thing that matters most. Right? If I were to ask you, when was the last time you sat at the feet of Jesus? When was the last time you just sat still and quiet and listened to the word of the Lord, your Bible, for the purpose of working on yourself? Right? That's what we do when we gather in assembly, but we don't have to wait for the first day of the week to do that. Right? They weren't in worship here, were they? He was traveling from here to there, right? And he stopped in, and it says Mary sat at his feet and heard his word. Right? We can do this whenever we make time to do so. Right? In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the writer says that it's been appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. We're all going to face our end to this life. Right? The way that Jesus says it to John, it says it in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 14, that chapter opens with, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye that believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." We know we don't have to fear death. As stated here, God has a place prepared, and God's not trying to withhold it from anyone. What we just have to accept today and confront is that at times we ourselves get too busy to get to that prepared place. Right? At times we get too lazy. That also happens. Right? But at times we get too busy. We get too caught up on other priorities that we've set for ourselves, and we neglect our responsibility to prepare to meet God. Jesus speaks of this in a parable I want us to read together in Luke chapter 14. In Luke chapter 14, there is this parable that starts out in verse 16. It actually goes through verse 24. But to talk about busyness, I'm really just going to focus on verses 16 through 20. So Luke chapter 14, and I want you to read with me verses 16 through 20. It says, "Then he said unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that which were bidden or invited, Come, for all things are now ready. In verse 18, and they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." None of those examples are lazy. No one's saying, I'm sleepy, and so I'm not going to come, or I'm binging Netflix right now, so I'm not going to come. Right? Like, they're giving these excuses for things they've prioritized in their life. And you're like, well, that last brother, you sure he's okay? He was the one that said he just got married a wife and he can't, I think he's supposed to focus on that. I'm like, well, okay, I get it. Yes, your marriage should be a priority and spending time with your spouse should be a priority. Right? But he's talking in these examples about their, or he's using these examples to show how they're focused on other things, right? The first who bought some land, one man tending to his oxen, right? So I think of that as, you know, the man who's his employer, he's busy with his work, right? That's the reason he can't worship or he can't be a Bible study, is he's got to work at those times, right? He's tending to his oxen. He's not lazy. Right? He's just struggling with balancing his need to get done his work, his, you know, his occupation, with being part of what has been prepared. So I was saying, it's a pretty thinly veiled analogy here, right? Like, we know that the Lord has prepared something for us, right? And here he says that a certain man made a great supper and bade many, right? Invited out many and had these that were invited giving reasons they couldn't attend, you know? And we similarly prioritize at times things before the Lord that are reflections of where we place our own treasure. For some of us, you know, the way I think about it, when you're trying to reflect in these verses, you know, how many of us own a car? Own a car? All right. How many of us have that car insured? Anyone not have that car insured? All right. We know if we own a car, we have to have the car insured. Right? For those of us that own a home, make certain that you have it insured. Right? Some of us have life insurance on our physical bodies. Right? But what have you done about your soul? Have you invested the time to do what is necessary to insure your soul? Jesus says in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You're protecting your car, your house, your body, right, through health insurance and other forms. Right? What have you done to ensure your soul? Right? Today, if you know you are too busy, take this sermon personally as a challenge to find time with the Lord. Right? If you're in the body of Christ and you recognize you haven't been living in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, thank God for His mercy and start over this morning. Hebrews 3, 7 and 8 says, "Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart." I said in the beginning of my message, right, that this is one of the most sensitive. Some people consider it stepping on toes to even bring this topic up. How dare you challenge how I use my time? Right? Like, it's I'm to be steward over my time. I'm not saying it to challenge you or question what you're prioritizing. I'm saying it as somebody who has struggled with this as much as any amongst us. Mm-hmm. Right? To properly prioritize in a busy, hectic world, right, the Lord, and keep as my priority seeking the kingdom. Seeking the kingdom for my own salvation. Seeking and trying to help provide assistance to others that are seeking out a way to salvation. So, you know, as we prepare to sing our song of invitation, right, I want you to remember, as a Hebrew writer says, that there is no guarantee of tomorrow. Now is the time to make things right. Now is the time to give your life to Christ. Now is the time to make your peace with God. Remember in that parable we were reading in Luke 14, how it ends for those that were extending the invitation. Right? If you're still there at Luke 14, or if you can flip back over, I stopped at verse 20, but that's not actually the end of the parable. Right? What does the master do next after the servant goes out and those who weren't initially invited, they decide to request to be excused? Verse 21 through 24 tells us, "So that servant came and showed his Lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out and quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Jesus in this parable, he's touching on a number of things. When he's condemning these men there at the end, it's saying that none of them that were originally invited, but then asked to be excused, shall taste of my supper. Right? We know what that means. But he's also, I think he's powerfully here connecting to, he has another verse in teaching where he talks about it, how challenging it is for the wealthy to enter into the kingdom of heaven, and it being like, going through the camel going through the eye of a needle, right? And I think he connects that here when he's talking about, well, who I know I can get to attend this supper, right? Like, go into the community and find the poor and those that are living without, right? I bet you they aren't too busy for this meal, right? I bet you they're going to listen to the call and they fill up the house, right? And the servant does as he's instructed, right? But we know that, right? That really, we know it's not really a trapping of wealth, right? Like, that really, we can become occupied just with things in our calendar. Like, our calendar is rich and full of events that we think we need to get to, right? That someone who is living more day-to-day, destitute, taking it one day at a time, doesn't have those same conflicts in their calendar, right? And that's who calls out and then comes to this supper. So, it's also important, like I said, to catch where that parable ends. That, to make it clear that, like, busyness isn't just a bad habit that can lead to some temporary setbacks from you being where you want to be in this world. Right? Like, he makes it clear at the end of the parable that none of the men which were invited originally are going to come to the supper. Right? That it's created separation. As much as, one was a newlywed wanting to spend time with his wife, one was needing to go visit a plot of land he had purchased, another was working with oxen. All sounded, if they were being done Tuesday through Friday or whatever, right? Like, okay, that's why you can't make it, right? But recognize the consequence it has for those. It comes back to where I said I would end, and that's in Matthew, right? Like, what are they really guilty of? They're really guilty of not properly prioritizing, right? That's what Matthew 6 and 33 has commanded us to do, and we must keep in the forefront of our mind. So again, Matthew 6 and 33 is where Christ says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added to you. Right? All the oxen, the happy wife, all the other things you aspire to have, right? Seek first the kingdom of God, and then let all those other things come to you, right? Don't try and shift those priorities around. But that's where I want to conclude my message with you this morning. Don't wait another day to hand your life over to the Lord. As the Hebrew writer said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, right? You can be added to the body of Christ, or if you find yourself in need of repentance, you can choose this morning, this day, to return to leading a life of service to the Lord as together we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Living me, Lord.